Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Some of my medical conditions, I sweat profusely. When I'm outside doing anything, I look at the sun and I'm instantly sweating. I don't wear a shirt when I'm out there, and I don't feel comfortable with the neighbor referencing me being a nudist or being part of a nudist colony. I think that's way beyond a neighborly gesture. And I don't appreciate that. We tried to be friendly with them and just kind of laugh it off, but with the camera being aimed in my direction, I think the whole perverted comments from the neighbor are a little over the top.
Ah, Milton, home of nudist colonies and perverted neighbors and recording cameras aimed in wrong directions and variance requests for 8-foot walls because of super jumpy Mexican jumping dogs over 6 foot. I kid you not. You know, this, I would not have even known this was happening. Wouldn't have had any idea that all of this fun, crazy drama was going on at the Board of Adjustments. God help me. I did watch the meeting where the request was over allowing a variance for a taller fence to be built because they have a dog. They're new to town, the Schreckengoss. They have a dog that is very, very, very eager to escape. He's, you know, like Clint Eastwood in Escape from Alcatraz. He'll get out of anything. And so they want to build an 8-foot fence where they currently have a 6-foot fence because they'll just jump right over that 6-foot fence. Oh, the neighbors don't want that. That's the Hawthorns, who apparently are politically connected enough to get not one, not two, but three city council members to represent them and try to deny this 8-foot fence variance at the Board of Adjustment meeting, where no city council members ever show up, but they showed up here. And again, none of this I would have known anything about, except Mayor Heather Lindsay took it upon herself to write this incredibly bizarre letter that she sent out to other people saying, we got a problem right here in River City. If I were ever going to go not Deus of our Milton, I could go, there you go. I'll tuck that one away for later. Anyway, okay. I know, now I'm thinking of what things you're going to spell that rhyme with. Anyway, okay, so back to Mayor Heather Lindsay. She writes this letter that says to her fellow board city council members, or at least to the city manager, and maybe to the lawyer. I forget who is actually on the designation for the letter. We got a problem on the Board of Adjustments. These people don't know what they're doing. First of all, they're running the meeting terribly. You got this guy shows up. He's got active MRSA. that's this Schreckengoss. They're talking about nudism and the neighbors and the perverts and all this. And then one of the board members has the audacity to roll her eyes at one of our city council members who shows up. How dare she? Names her. So if the mayor hadn't written this crazy letter, I would have never even known there was drama at the Board of Adjustments meeting and gone back to watch it. And what asked the question, why is it exactly that three city council members are intruding into and, you know, putting their finger on the scale of the Board of Adjustments meeting just by showing up? That's weird. Okay. So I'm watching this meeting, and the basic issue, like I said, is you got this dog that's going to escape. They live on Dogwood Drive. The dog is likely going to get killed if it gets out. So they want to build an 8-foot fence on the new home they built. They're new to town. And they otherwise got along with their neighbor until all this started, and now the neighbor's talking to all of their powerful city council friends, I guess, as best I can understand it, and telling them to go to the meeting on their behalf, and so they do, and they show up and make their arguments. Larry McKee, Heather Lindsay, and then Marilyn Farrow doesn't show up, but she writes a very long letter. So Teresa Schreckengoss, that's the woman. Okay, that's the wife with the dog, okay, that wants to build the bigger fence.
I'm glad that they could get their lawyer, Heather Lindsay, here, who lives in Pensacola, and Teresa Messick, Pine Street, which I'm sure are all just their friends and everything, for asking for not to change the rules.
Yeah, it must be nice to have connected friends.
I'm not asking you for change the rules. I'm asking for a variance. That's what I put in for. I put in for a variance. Can you please just consider the safety of my dogs and the safety and our own personal peace?
Yeah, which is understandable. In my mind, I'm thinking, what's the big deal? It's a 2-foot taller fence. But, you know, municipalities have their rules. And everybody's got their rules, and then when somebody gets their dander up about how you're going to be putting this 2-foot larger fence between us on this property, no, can't have it, or near us on this property. And that's why it was so funny to me, is like, it takes three city council members to weigh in on opposing this 30-foot section of 8-foot fence. I mean, it's incredibly intrusive. So Howard Steele, who typically is an opponent of the mayor but happens to be allied with what the outcome that she wants here, and basically his position is, look, why should we have to change for you being not thinking about this when you bought the house, or not knowing that you can't just vary fence heights without getting permission to do that, which you can't. You know, it's a hardship on you, yes, but it's not a hardship caused by anything about the city. And if we let you make this change, we can let them make this change. And, you know, we never let anybody do anything right anymore.
I don't believe you've ever had a dog that likes to just run and jump and play. And that's our dog, Lucky. He loves to run and jump and play. He sees a squirrel, he wants to go play with the squirrel. He's not a mean dog, but he wants to play with the squirrel. And if the squirrel's on the other side of the fence, he's going to try to get that squirrel.
I get it.
That's why we have a hardship.
And the dog is going to get out. It's going to get to the street. It's going to die. Or it's the neighbor's dogs that they also have dogs, but they don't have an 8-foot fence. So that was Wade Schreckengoss. That's the husband, the wife, Teresa.
I don't know what else I can say to convince you. It is a hardship. And when I leave here, if it's not approved, it's going to be a terrible hardship. I'm not even living in the house right now because I don't have a fence for my dogs. I cannot live in that house. Then last month, I couldn't go in because I don't have a fence for my dog. I don't have a solution except for to try and come here and ask that you keep my dog safe and keep whoever is on Dogwood Drive driving safe from my dog getting out. I'm just asking you to consider that.
But it's not the city's responsibility to keep your dog safe, though.
I understand that.
It's our position to keep our dog safe, and that's why we're here requesting for the city to vary the code to allow us to do it a specific way, because we've entertained and researched different ways, and we discussed them here just a few minutes ago.
That's what you told us to do, and we did.
Let me help you, help me, help you, help me, help you, so the dog doesn't die. And look, I want the dog to be safe. I want the people to enjoy their home. I don't know why the neighbors have pitched such a fit, even though they gave 83 reasons why they're opposed to this. It seems petty to me, frankly, to be opposed to this. But I will also say, I think the law actually is not on their side. I mean, I think the I think they're wrong. I think that Howard Steele is right in voting against this. Although I think probably if I were on this board, I might vote for it. Because I want to help these people out. But yeah, I think based on the various criteria for what allows you to, you know, expand a fence or not, I don't think they qualify. I still probably would vote for the variance. And then if the Hawthorns want to take the city to court over it, which is their next recourse, there's no other recourse after that. I mean, that's, I suppose, would be their choice. We'll come back to this in a second, because where it starts to get interesting is how this then percolated back to the city council meeting later. More on that in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
What a way to welcome to Milton.
Yeah, welcome to Milton. Enjoy your new home. Screw you and your dog.
Exactly. All right.
We got friends in high places, and we will employ them to stop you adding two feet to a fence because we don't want it to happen.
I know. Okay, traffic is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. Also delay-free. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody texted in and said, did she say dogs? Is there more than one dog? I seem to vaguely remember there being that she said maybe they have a couple of other dogs. But it's just this one that's the problem, though, that they've adopted as a rescue.
Wow.
It's a rescue dog. So anyway, or vagrant stray, something like that. Okay, they took it in. It was like a neighbor took it in and gave it to him because they couldn't take care of him. So they want to get along with the neighbors. Oh, I don't know what this is about, but if we're in the drama section, let's include it.
We're not racist either. Like, we've got along with our neighbors.
I don't know where that came from, because as far as I can tell, everybody involved here is white. I'm not sure what they're doing, but apparently it's come up. Okay, so then remember Heather Lindsay. By the way, if you missed the first episode of Days of Our Milton, it was at the 5 o'clock hour. You can go back and listen to the podcast page or on the website or on the app. There's lots of various ways you can do it. Anyway, Heather Lindsay, the mayor, had shown up advocating at length against the variance. Why? Well, I mean, if you got friends. And they didn't realize she was the mayor. They thought she was their attorney because she talked about her being an attorney, okay? And in the moment, they got kind of confused by the facts, and Heather Lindsay didn't mean anything to them, so Heather Lindsay wants to clarify.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to make sure I corrected something the applicant misunderstood. I do not represent the Hawthorns. I was speaking as a lawyer who used to represent the city of Pensacola, and in my capacity as assistant city attorney, I sat at the meetings that were conducted for the board that's just like you.
So I just want to make sure you realize I don't represent them, but then we're back to this issue of the cameras and the nudism and the
camera pictures. If you look at my pictures of his camera locations, the camera physically changed. The view angle of the cameras changed on those pictures that I provided. It's not about changing a bag.
Like where is the camera aimed? You know, is it aimed at the place where the bullet holes were in the telephone post from the previous murder in the backyard? Not kidding. Or is it aimed at the, you know, the neighbors working out in the sun in his sweaty, semi-not clothed, possible nudist allegations place?
It's not about changing a battery. It's not about, oops, I didn't angle it the same way. It's about calling me a nudist several times and angling that camera at my back patio. Thank you.
I have one question. By going to the 8-foot fence, is that going to alleviate the issue with the camera?
Miraculously, yes, sir, it does.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but then second wave, Larry McKee, city councilman, has already been here to testify about how this fence variance shouldn't be issued, and then he jumps in with...
Larry McKee again here, all right. Milton. I was over there, and I have looked at the camera, and I'm not quite 6 feet tall, and I can't see over the fence, the 8-foot fence, and I can't see over a 6-foot fence, and I have a 6-foot fence in my property also. And that camera will not do anything. It will.
So we're now onto the expert testimony of the trigonometric expertise of Larry McKee about which camera is going to go into which. But can I say this? I feel great sympathy for the people who work on the Board of Adjustments, much like the people who work on the Zoning Board, the Planning Board, all these folks. They just must deal with all of the stuff. All the stuff. And now on top of it, in a context where they're kind of everybody in Milton who works on a board has gotten their appointments threatened by the city council, who's now putting this code of conduct in place to tell them to behave or else. And you better not criticize us. And now we're showing up at your meeting and telling you what to do with the backdrop of you better behave and do the right thing or else maybe you get removed from boards. And so now Howard's, you know, Larry McKee's given a second pass. Heather Lindsay's given a second pass. You know, it turns out the dog has not lived there. They're doing this on the hypothesis that the dog would jump over the fence, which kind of makes sense because if you think the dog would jump the fence, you don't put the dog in the backyard and wait to see. So, okay. Then you have one of the members of the board says, seems to me, and I don't know these board members. It's hard to figure out who's saying what if you don't know them already, but said that the issue isn't the dog, it's the privacy. But the privacy was not the primary issue. It was really the dog's safety. Then you have Patty Hawthorn, who is the objecting party, the next door neighbors. She says,
I'm Patty Hawthorn. I've lived there almost 30 years. I've never had anybody accuse me of what they're accusing me of. And I find that to be very disturbing.
Did you just clutch your pearls, John?
I just said, oh my goodness.
My faint heart. Okay, so amidst all the allegations of, I guess, racism and perversion and nudism and people walking around in the city council meetings with MRSA and crazy Mexican jumping dogs and you should really just train your dog better and, you know, we'll take him out in the backyard on a leash and concerns about setting a precedent and the variations of an ordinance based on one person with a ledge and what the future will. I mean, people will just go buy dogs in order to get a variance on their fence heights and the folks got their request. They got the request. I don't know what the vote was. They didn't announce it. I think it was maybe 4-3 or 5-2. But anyway, they got the request approved.
So it was approved.
So it was approved so they can build the fence height. Amidst all the drama. With some limitations. You know, if they ever sell it, rent it, lease it. If there's a storm, the fence has to come down. They don't get to rebuild it, whatever. But yes, they got the variance. Oh, then we go to the Milton City Council meeting.
Oh, no.
And at the Milton City Council meeting, you have Mayor Heather Lindsay says, you know, I am a little bit worried that these folks, they need some training. They need to be taught how to do their jobs more properly because they apparently did not do it. To follow up on the letter that she wrote explaining how they didn't do their jobs properly. And do I have time? I do not have time for any of these cuts. Well, I will next hour.
Oh, man.
Act three. Because would it surprise you to know that Teresa Schreckengast, who is the neighbor with the jumping dog and got the variance, was none too happy to be singled out so specifically in the letter from the mayor and in the conversation when the mayor showed up at along with another city councilman and a letter from another city councilwoman showing up at the meeting. So now she's motivated to play local politics.
Oh, boy.
So she's at the meeting.
Oh, boy.
And now you have the anti-Pitchfork posse? I'm not quite. You have a growing coalition of people who are Howard Steele, Ranford County Commission, Cassie Powell, who's Casey Powell's wife, and now Teresa Schreckengast are the kind of the other side, the angry anti-Pitchfork posse coalition people, apparently. So remember way back when we hired the new city council, the city manager, Scott Collins, and he promised that Days of Our Milton would go away?
Really?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Next hour, 625 on News Radio 92. By the way, this is it happens to be our city, but this is every city in America. I mean, I don't know that it's quite this entertaining in every city in America, but I've seen some city council meetings elsewhere. But it's this fence heights and dog leashes and poop in the yard and somebody didn't properly
cameras
and didn't put the barricade up for the construction site and they're parking over the line of the property. I mean, it's the stuff people bicker about. And you have governments theoretically to resolve these things. Or you have Milton. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. We do have a backup right now. NAS Gate is backed up almost to Gulf Beach Highway. So just be aware of that. Plan a little extra time. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after? More points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days. Insured by NCUA.
All right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Crisp, refreshing. That hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, this text cracks me up. Somebody wrote in 437-1620. Good morning, Andrew. Oh, son, you can't make me wait till the next hour.
I know, right?
I can wait till the next half hour, but in the next hour, I'll be at work and I don't have access to a radio to be able to listen to Days of Our Milton. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Okay, so all I can tell you is, first of all, we got to talk to the Santa Rosa County Administrator, Brad Baker, coming up next about stuff they're doing in the county. But the app, the News Radio Pensacola app, the website, the podcast page, there's, I know, but I can't.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
It's going to be a long, slow work day waiting for the conclusion of Days of Our Milton.
Hey, remember when it used to be in TV, you'd wait till all the way till next week to see the resolution. There was no binge watching.
Yeah, you didn't always get the binge listen, did you?
That's right.
The Department of Homeland Security announcing a new immigration operation in Chicago called Operation Midway Blitz. Of course, it follows several days of warnings from President Trump that he wants to clean up Chicago's crime issue. A Nashville man that was convicted in the Capitol riots January 6th is now running for Congress in Tennessee, Stuart Parks.
Right.
He was pardoned by President Trump after serving prison time. He's one of 11 Republicans seeking the seat vacated by Representative Mark Green. Four Democrats also running in a special election for that seat. And Apple will be unveiling its new iPhone today. They say it's the thinnest iPhone ever, the 17 Pro and 17 Pro Max. There's a hardware event scheduled, and they're also expected to give some updates on the new Apple Watch and AirPods.
Oh, thinnest iPhone ever, along with a 2-inch thick OtterBox.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Cased or uncased? I'm a cased, but, you know.
I'm a caser.
Are you a caser? All right.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Israel telling all Palestinians to get out of Gaza City, ordering a full evacuation as it escalates its war, demolishing dozens of high-rise buildings. It's dubbing terror towers for Hamas.
Previous warnings were for people in areas where there were about to be concentrated operations or airstrikes. This is for all of Gaza City, seen by Israel as the last Hamas stronghold.
That's Fox's Chris Foster. There won't be National Guard troops in Chicago, but there is a whole lot more ICE agents.
That surge is part of the ICE-led Operation Midway Blitz that they say is in honor of a beautiful young Chicago woman, Katie Abraham, who was killed by an illegal alien drunk driver back in January of this year. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says that this blitz won't make Chicagoans safer.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, America's listening to Fox News.
Me, that's my biggest fear.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 71. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, the third annual Rock for Vets 5K happens this weekend in Pensacola, and that's scheduled for Saturday morning at 7:30. It starts at Community Maritime Park. Proceeds all go to help the homeless and struggling veterans here in our area. $40 per person to run. There will also be live music, food vendors, and family activities. Three people injured in a car crash on 9th Avenue in Pensacola yesterday. Happened about 8 p.m. PPD says there were three victims that were trauma alerted to a local hospital. 9th Avenue was closed last night between Keating and Creighton Roads. As of this morning, it appears to have reopened. So far, there's no update on the victim's condition or any new information on that crash. But we will let you know as soon as we learn more. Santa Rosa County's K-9 officers got some special recognition yesterday.
Out of the state of Florida, we found the most missing kids with our Bloodhound unit. So basically, we're getting an award here, and I'm so proud of those guys and dogs because we have five Bloodhounds now, so it's getting to be a pretty good-sized unit. But they're all great people and great animals.
Sheriff Bob Johnson says the handlers and dogs went to Tallahassee yesterday to get that special award from a charity organization, but they're now back on the job in Santa Rosa County. The K-9 unit at the sheriff's office in Santa Rosa County has dogs in various specialties, including the bloodhounds, of course, several narcotics dogs, a bomb dog, and even an electronics dog. Well, tonight you can ask some questions of local lawmakers. There's an event scheduled in light of an upcoming legislative session.
Escambia's legislative delegation. This is Representative Michelle Saltzman along with Alex Andrade and Senator Don Gates, scheduled to meet this afternoon, 6 p.m., at the Molino Community Center. The The meeting's designed to discuss policy proposals and appropriation requests in advance of the next legislative session. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Jury selection continuing today in the trial of the man accused of attempting to assassinate Donald Trump. Defendant Ryan Ruth was representing himself. He was scolded by the judge yesterday for some of the questions he wanted to ask potential jurors. Among the questions was one about stopping for a turtle if they encountered one on the road. Ruth has pleaded not guilty to five charges, including attempting to assassinate a presidential candidate. Opening statements in the Florida trial are set to begin on Thursday. A House Task Force on Government Transparency is holding a hearing today on UFOs. More from Tammy Trujillo.
The chair of the Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets issued a statement saying the American people deserve maximum transparency from the federal government on sightings, acquisitions, and examinations of UAPs and whether they pose a potential threat to American safety. Witness testimonies expected from Air Force and Navy veterans who have all previously discussed witnessing aerial phenomenon, as well as journalist George Knapp. Republican Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna of Florida has said she expects the hearing will have massive implications around the country. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you, Tammy. 635 at News Radio 92.3. And John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 looking good. Seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 and 9 Mile Road intersection, both north and southbound. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a lovely day today with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70. Going into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 88 degrees and a low near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 72 degrees right now. Our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Small business sentiment improved further in August amid expectations for higher sales. The National Federation of Independent Business said its Small Business Optimism Index increased 0.5 points to 100.8 last month. The share of business owners expecting higher sales rose 6 points to 12%. Oil prices are moderately higher after OPEC Plus output hike is seen as modest. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $62.74 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $66.48 per barrel. Treasury yields were flat this morning as investors awaited two inflation reports that could influence policy decisions at the Federal Reserve. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury stood at 4.059%. Yields on Treasuries across the curve were little changed, with the 30-year Treasury yield holding steady at 4.7%. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 114. That's Your Money Now.
Peer opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go further. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Oh, man, it's so hot. The AC just can't keep up. What do I do?
Trust the Gnome to protect your home. If your AC's in rag order, our HVAC technicians can fix it up and keep your system running at peak performance all year round.
Thanks, Woody.
Whether HVAC, plumbing, or electrical, WeCare has certified technicians ready to handle all your home service needs. Schedule online at WeCareHeatandAir.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. I always appreciate, seriously, appreciate people listening. I know you have options and you choose to listen to us, and I take that very serious. That's why I'm always, whenever you come up to me when I'm out in public and you're like, ah, I love your show, I'm like, ah. I mean, to me, it's like any person listens, it always floors me. I don't know. It just does. It's always surprising to me. So I appreciate you guys. I really do. I appreciate it. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker joins us now. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always good to have you. One of the big topics of discussion, I did not listen to the whole meeting yesterday, but I listened to some of it. And it seems like one of the big things that people would want to know about is we are in what we would describe as a budgetarily constrained situation right now. We've talked about some of the elements of that, and especially the drying up of ARPA funds, the state getting involved in their DOGE stuff, all of that. And meanwhile, the citizens voting down tax issues, which is also going to constrain things. And you guys are trying to figure out how to pay for stuff. And it turns to the issue of fees for boating, fees for airport space rental, fees for park pavilions and auditoriums, fees for pet services, fees for engineering. And generally speaking, across the board, the revenue collected by the people using these services is coming nowhere close to paying for the cost it is to provide these services, and your board is looking at raising fees pretty much on everything. Is that about right?
Well, for the most part, I think the history would history review. So the board, we talked about doing some MSTUs and different taxing structures, and the board was not comfortable with that direction. So they tasked us with going back and looking at fees and could we do some fee offsets to be able to keep our property taxes lower in Santa Rosa County. So that's kind of where we started this, and we compiled them all and presented to the board, hey, here are the fees, here is the comparison of the other counties adjacent to us, and then even with the adjustments, like, for example, our parks and facility rental fee, even
hey, Brad, can I pause you? Because I want to get into the specifics, but I want to amplify the point you made just because people might have missed it. The effort was to keep people's property taxes down by shifting revenue or generating revenue elsewhere. But that also is playing smart for the future in a situation where we're concerned that we might lose property tax revenue dramatically. And we don't want to get caught completely behind the eight ball when that happens. And so this is, in my mind, this is part of a move in a direction to diversify income streams for the county so that we can maintain services if property taxes go away. Did I say anything wrong there?
No, that's correct. And you saw that with our law enforcement MSTU. We're trying to show the people on their trim notice, this is what sworn law enforcement costs you in Santa Rosa County every year.
Right. Very good. So you're getting ready to talk about parks as an example. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say that even with the fee increase, if they adopt the one that we put before them, it's not going to cover all of the operational capital upkeep, et cetera. It's just going to get us closer to covering it. So, there is going to be some ad valorem that has to go to the parks and recs unless the fees just get really dramatic, which we're not recommending. I don't think the board would entertain, but I just wanted that to be known too, that even the fee adjustments we're doing is not going to cover the prepping for the event. Like, I'll use the auditorium, prepping for the event, cleaning up after the event, setting up the tables, audio visual equipment, et cetera. So we're just making an attempt to get it a little more neutral.
And I think it's a complicated formula. It's hard to figure out how much of the share of a public benefit that not everybody uses, like a park. Okay, a park is a good example. It's a public benefit. They're typically free to access, but obviously only some people use them. Well, should everybody pay for that park to exist? Well, historically, yes, but also, is that fair for the non-users? Okay, what about something like, rental space at the airport, at Peter Prince Airport, where, you know, people pay for these, you know, big sheds for their airplanes? Okay, it's a public amenity, but you do pay. But as we talked about, or as you guys talked about yesterday, the rate people were paying for those airplane hangars was absurdly low, right?
Yes, it was. I mean, you could rent a storage unit. Would cost you more than it costs to rent an airplane hangar, and it had went on so long that people were actually not storing airplanes in there. We amended that several years ago, and now you have to have a functioning airplane or one in repair to keep your hangar, because it was cheaper to rent the hangar than the storage unit out in town.
I mean, to the point where people would literally rent a hangar to use as a storage facility which would displace people who might potentially want to use it for hangar space, right?
That's correct. And obviously we want the space out there to be used for airport services.
Right. We're talking to Brad Baker. He's Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90-29 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Just for the moment on parks, part of your presentation of the board was looking at neighboring counties and renting a pavilion, for example. It's three or four times as much. I'm vaguely remembering the numbers, but it's really too cheap in Santa Rosa County, and you're talking about an increase to get somewhere between that gap of comparability and also cost of services provided, right?
That's correct. Just to make it where we cover a little more of the stuff we do to support those facilities. You know, there's upkeep on, especially take all the pavilions on the beach. You know, there's regular maintenance we have to do to those. There are cleaning we have to do to those, the restrooms, and keep all that up, which is an amenity next to the pavilion that they're renting. And when you're bringing 30, 40, 50 people to an event, we know they're going to use the restrooms. And so we have to plan for that and handle that cleanup of that space, you know, afterwards. So
How did this conversation turn out when it came to boating fees? Because I know that's obviously a lot of people participate in that slice of activity in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, they do. And the majority of our boats are considered what is called a Class 1 boat. And that fee, if the board adopts a new fee, would go up $14.38 a year. For overall, they would give us about another $150,000 a year revenue increase for that. So that would, you know, that would put us, we're currently in, you know, roughly around 250,000. So that'd put us closer to 400,000 a year. And like you heard in the meeting, I mean, just one boat ramp that we need to do repairs to, which we have many, is Oriole Beach. And that's probably going to cost us around $1.5 million. And the Marine Advisory Committee, which is our appointed citizen advisory committee from the board, they supported this, but wanted it to go to the boat ramp improvements. And there are, statutorily, there's some things we can and can't do with this money, and boat ramp repair is one of them.
Okay. What is the current fee for a Class 1 boat?
The current fee is $28.75.
Okay, so this is about a 50% increase.
It would be
to 42 or
43.
Okay, and just because I'm doing the quick math on while you're talking, 10,000 boats? I mean, if you're going to increase the revenue by 150,000 and you got $14, that's about 10,000 boats, right? I do that math right?
You did. They're actually 9,452 with our vessel count of class one in 2024.
And again, the theory is, should the public that doesn't boat pay for the boat ramp improvements or the cost of doing that business, or should the people who use the ramps, right, which is obviously the boaters, an alternative, and I am not recommending this, but did you guys look at imposing a parking fee? I am not recommending this, but I know in Escambia County and, you know, in Gulf Breeze, the boat ramps cost money if you park a boat there. Some of them do in other places, but you don't have to pay in Santa Rosa, really. Like Woodlawn Beach, Oriole Beach, Archie Glover are free, right?
Yeah, none of the county ones. The one there in the city of Gulf Breeze, they do have a boat charge for it, right, but not in the county. We have had discussions recently about parking fees, but, you know, no real traction.
No interest in that, which I understand. I like free parking, too. You also were looking at the pet services and the engineering review services. What are the price increases you're looking at there?
Yeah, and the main thing on the animal service one is that we didn't have in our original one we did a few years ago, there was kind of no escalating, and we found where, like, we have one dog that we've impounded 30 times. So obviously our impound fee of $25 is not making a difference. So, you know, we're talking about making it a 15 for the first one, a 25 for the second, a 35 for the third, and then 50 times whatever that number. So if you're on your eighth time, that would be a $400 impound fee. So trying to get,
wow,
we've already changed the ordinance to where if we catch your stray more than three times, we're going to go ahead and fix it, because that's usually the problem. So we fixed that in a previous ordinance, but that's the main thing that sticks out. And then really for dangerous dogs and then a couple of other just fees that we charge when we do stuff to help the community out. For example, a microchip fee.
Okay.
That way we can provide that service, you know, when they come to our shelter. So,
and based on
the engineering one,
and based on the, like, you know, going to catch a stray dog, on the recidivism escalation, again, I'm assuming that if you do the math, even at the $400, it's still probably, I mean, it probably costs you close to that if you add in all the costs of housing, sheltering, catching, all of that.
Right.
You're still probably not covering cost, and the idea is to shift the responsibility to the guilty parties, right?
Yeah, that's right. The capital equipment, the trucks, the payroll, the keeping the lights on at the shelter, the feeding of the animals, et cetera. So.
Yeah. Cat and dog law enforcement is expensive. People don't think about how expensive it really is. And then you were going to finish up with the engineering services?
Yeah, mainly the changes there is trying to align it where we had a $250, and then every time they resubmitted a preliminary plat, there was another $250. So what we did was just change it to $1,000, and then you get the first few resubmittals free, and then it starts with a $1,000 resubmittal. And that's really to kind of motivate these engineering firms to submit it correctly the first time and minimal feedback. You know, we don't want to be the code reviewers for them.
Yeah.
We want them to do their homework and submit their plans in compliance with the code. So it was a twofold thing. You know, one thing was to try to decrease the number of resubmittals, but then to also cover the cost of, I mean, it's pretty costly to hire an engineer to review these.
Yeah.
And the other thing we didn't have that we recently, probably 3 years ago, started a division of construction inspection, and we didn't have that ability in inspections to collect any fees. We just hadn't established that. So this is also established, you know, if you're doing a subdivision, your base fee for inspections is going to be $1,000. And then, you're going to have $25 per lot, and that covers all the inspections we do throughout the installation of that subdivision.
Well, Brad, that's all going to be Thursday is the final vote on all of these fees. Is that right? Thursday is when you guys are going to do the final vote on this stuff?
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah, if people are interested, and I bet they are, that's why we wanted to get the word out so that, you know, your government is participative, you know, go and talk to them and say, yeah, this makes sense, or no, this doesn't make sense. Thursday morning meeting starts at 8:30 in Milton at the county commission offices. Brad Baker is a Santa Rosa County administrator. Brad, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for explaining all that to our audience. I really appreciate it, sir.
Okay, Andrew. Take care. Have a good day.
You bet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says, I just heard Andrew McKay recommend implementing a parking fee for boat ramps.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like,
I didn't recommend it. I don't recommend it. I was asking him if they've considered it, and he said that they have. I don't like the parking. I don't like to have to pay for parking at the Escambia boat ramps, at the Pensacola boat ramps. I hate it. I mean, that's, and I'm not, you know what? I'll tell you the other part. We don't even have a trailer. We just have a car. And sometimes we have to pay to park a car, or you don't even have a space to park a car. So I'm against all of that stuff. But I understand, why should the non-boater have to pay for the service? You know, like the people who don't have boats, should they have to pay for the boaters to be able to have the ramps? Dicey there too. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel, as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is your name?
Sir Robin of Camelot.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is the capital of Assyria?
I don't know that.
Any third grader knows that question's answer. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3, and that's why Robin of Loxley went over. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, John.
That's right, no accidents to report to you right now. It looks like the gate at NAS is backed up all the way to Sunset, so just be aware of that, playing some extra time for that one. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you have plumbing, heating, electrical, or air conditioning needs inside your home to be worked on or upgraded or you need a whole replacement, Peden. This is the stuff that they do, all of that stuff. And it's kind of interesting because the company started when Robert Peden back in 1969 was like, hey, it's Florida, it's hot, I don't like that, in Panama City. I'm going to cool down. Oh, that's how you do it? All right, maybe I can cool down my family and my friends and charge them a little bit of money, and I think I can make a business out of this. And so eventually, he's got Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical, and Plumbing, and they're all across the Gulf Coast from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile, doing all of that good quality service inside your home, standing by with 100% satisfaction guarantee, and growing all the time. This month, and in fact, throughout storm season, during storm season, you get power and savings, $1,500 off until the end of hurricane season, on a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton standby generator. So if you have always thought maybe that would be time to put one in, well, you know, hey, there's no time like the present. Give them a call. Check them out online, Peden, PEADEN.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The Department of Homeland Security launching an immigration operation in Chicago. They're calling it Operation Midway Blitz. Of course, it follows days of President Trump saying he wants to clean up the crime problem there in the Windy City.
Tennessee is now the first state in the U.S. to mandate gun safety training for public school students. A new law there addressing gun-related tragedies and accidental shootings. Students will learn basic gun safety practices, like how to handle finding a gun and general firearm safety. Maybe they meant firing. And general firearm safety.
No, they probably meant finding it. Because, like, one of the problems with kids and safety is when kids stumble upon a gun and they just start playing with it, because that's what they see on TV. Is you just play with the gun. Don't play with it, kids.
The curriculum carried out by each school district and not involving real guns or ammunition, of course. I've always thought a gun safety course would be great for public schools.
I think the Eddie Eagle course way back in the day under the NRA was either with school students or through schools or something or other. Yeah.
I know.
Predates me, I know.
In the Midwest, I know they offered that stuff, but it was, not mandatory. It was, EchoStar, the parent company of Dish Network, is selling off a large portion of its wireless spectrum to SpaceX. The $17 billion deal will see SpaceX make interest payments on EchoStar's debt through November of 2027. It'll also put in place a long-term agreement for EchoStar's Boost Mobile customers to use SpaceX's Starlink Direct to sell service.
All right, very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Do you see this story out of Australia and maybe elsewhere that the SPF rating on lots of really good sunblocks is exaggerated? So, you know, you think you're putting on a 70, but you're actually putting on an 18 or a 40, something less. And in Australia, I guess that's like the skin cancer capital of the world. And it's a really big deal down there that these high-profile companies, their SPF ratings were inflated.